Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, so much of California is thinking about the big week next week, the Super Bowl coming to California, the biggest game, the biggest sport in the biggest and most expensive stadium. We'll talk more about that a little later on in the podcast, but we're again this week with a celebration of Black History Month with a historic figure in the Black community. That is Barbara Lee, who has represented Oakland for some time now in Congress. Her life story is quite something, coming from the point where doctors barely allowed her to be born because of discrimination her mother faced back in Texas. It's talked about in the new documentary called Barbara Lee, Speaking Truth to Power, which just came out on Stars. It's gotten nominated for an NAACP Image Award, gotten a lot of critical acclaim. We talked to the Congresswoman about that, about her anti-war stance in the past, about what's happening in Ukraine, about Black woman on the Supreme Court, about Maya Angelou on the quarter, which she made happen. So all of that in our conversation with Barbara Lee. Here it is. Barbara Lee, welcome back to The Issue Is. Congratulations on the documentary.
Thank you, Alex. Let me just say, when I see this, I'm reminded how I was an unwilling subject, and the filmmaker, Abby Ginsberg, she just was so persistent. She's a great filmmaker, but she just dogged me to death.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to talk about. You didn't initially want to do this. Abby Ginsberg eventually wore you down. Now it's getting all sorts of buzz, all sorts of critical acclaim. Now that it is out there, what do you think is the big takeaway you want everyone to know about your story and perhaps lessons that we all can learn from your life?
Well, you know, so much of the film, yes, is about my life through many, many difficult days. But I think for especially people of color, for women, for African Americans, for marginalized people who have had so many barriers to address and get through because of systemic racism and gender inequality, it's been really hard for me. But by the grace of God and by my family and by my friends, you know, I was able to move forward in many, many aspects of my life. And so really it's not about me, because I was committed early on to fight for social, racial, and economic and gender justice, but not for me personally, but for everyone else who had so many challenges with the system of government and the private policies in our country that are exclusionary, which I have had to deal with all of my life.
Well, in this extraordinary arc of your life, as a kid in Texas, father in the military, come here to California, working with the Black Panther Party, and now this prominent member of Congress. And you got so much attention back in 2001, when you were the only person in the Congress to vote against the war authorization for Afghanistan. You said it would be an endless war. Here is a clip from the movie about that.
This is going to set the stage for endless war.
This resolution's passed.
One no vote on the board.
Central to democracy is the right to dissent.
She was right.
It was important that her community understood the enormous risk she took in standing up for peace and justice.
So you got a lot of hate after that. What is your advice to the rest of us when dealing with the haters in our lives?
And we're dealing with so much hate now that it's unbelievable, but believable, because we still haven't addressed the basic issues in our country around injustice and hate. And so what I say is always be on the right side of history. Follow what you know is right. Follow your conscience. Be yourself and persist. It's going to be really hard. And again, as a Black woman, I hope this film really showed how hard it's been. But you have to keep going. You have to keep moving to make life better. And you can't be afraid. You've got to take risks. You've got to be careful, of course, in this day and time. But Black people have always had to be careful. You know, you keep your antennas up all the time if you're an African American. And so finally, I'll just say, you know, the story of my birth was in the film. My mother almost died in child delivery and in childbirth because they wouldn't let her into the hospital because she was Black. So I almost didn't get here into this world because my mother was African American and they delayed treatment and delayed delivery because she needed a C-section. And so I barely got here. They pulled me out using forceps. And so for me personally, I have no other choice but to fight for everything that creates opportunity, equality, and life for people in this country.
You know, this idea of pushing back against endless war is something that you obviously are famous for. There's a lot of tension right now in Ukraine. There are fears of a Russian invasion there. President Biden is sending troops to nearby NATO allies, not sending troops to Ukraine, at least not yet. What do you make of that situation, and are you worried about the U.S. getting entangled there?
Alex, thank you for that question. And let me tell you, first, I'm telling you, this is very complex. This is such a complex issue until we have to understand the deal and the background and the history. Now, I was in Ukraine in 2019, and I saw how complex this was, and the Russian aggression even then was very real. And so we have to let the State Department and let the Biden administration do what they're doing. They have mounted a very, very robust diplomatic initiative because there's no military solution. So let them do their job. Let the diplomats do their job. And I'm concerned about the insertion of so many of our troops and military hardware, even though the president has said over and over again that we're not going to send combat troops. I believe him. Finally, let me just say it's important that if this administration decides to change the mission to a combat mission or to a mission where our young men and women are going to be in a war, then they have to come to Congress. We cannot allow another war to take place with our troops without the authorization to use force. But believe you me, I understand the complexities of this. Mm-hmm. Russia is an aggressor. I understand what they're trying to do, and we've got to diplomatically push back and find some resolve before this gets out of hand.
Some other big news I want to get you to weigh in on. California's own Stephen Breyer is stepping back off the United States Supreme Court. President Biden saying he's going to go forward with his pledge to appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court. What does that mean to you to have that representation at the highest level? And do you have a name in mind you want to suggest?
Well, first, I don't have a name in mind, but to me, it's so exciting because it should be really exciting for the country because all of these years, they've never had the brilliance and the lens of a black woman on the Supreme Court. Shame on us. I mean, can you imagine what we've lost without having a black woman there? And so I commend the president, the nominees and the names that I've heard all have the judicial temperament. They have the background. They have the experience. And they have what it takes to be a Supreme Court judge. And so I'm just really excited about it. I'm sorry that the right wing is trying to continue to diminish who we are as black women by throwing out a bunch of crap. But, you know, as Dr. Maya Angelou said, and still we rise. And so I'm very excited about this day. But I hope the country is, because I hope everyone understands the moment and how devoid it's been without having a black woman on the Supreme Court.
Now to something fun. Just recently, we marked the 25th anniversary of the film Jerry Maguire. I don't know if you remember this scene.
What you gonna do, Jerry?
Show me the money!
Congratulations, you're still my agent.
Well, now, when you say show me the money, you can show some money with Maya Angelou's face on it. Here are images from The Mint. Maya Angelou is the first black woman ever on a quarter. You were on hand for the big announcement. What does this moment mean to you?
Well, this was my legislation that established this coin program with the Mint. And so it means, first of all, I'm really excited because it took me like 6 years to get this passed. We started with the U.S. Treasurer, then Rosie Rios from the East Bay, from my district. And we collaborated on this and decided to come up with this brainstorm that, it's fine to see Washington's face on a coin, but where are the women? And so we set up the legislation. It was passed, bipartisan legislation, signed into law. And the Mint set up a public process where people in the public can submit names of women up until 2025. And so I'm just delighted and so happy that Maya Angelou, who I knew very well, is our first woman who's an African-American woman on a coin. We have more women in line. One is Sally Ride, who actually was a Republican woman, who was the first woman astronaut. I mean, so we've got some amazing women. And this is not about symbolism only, although the symbol is wonderful. But it's about the stories. It's about who they were. And so it's exciting because now this new generation of young people will see who paved the way, how they paved the way, so that they too could pave the way for the next generation to make a better world for everyone.
Our thanks to Barbara Lee. Now, a conversation about the Super Bowl coming to Los Angeles. And for the first time ever on The Issue Is, we have Steve Mason, who is the host of the Mason in Ireland show on ESPN Radio on weekdays, and also the co-host of a podcast called the Culture Pop Podcast, which just recently featured me. They talk about, interview a lot of actors and entertainers and sort of delve into the issues of pop culture, which are some of my favorite things to talk about. So we talk about that in a moment, but let's begin, though, talking about the Super Bowl. Steve Mason, welcome to The Issue Is for the very first time.
Thank you, Alex. I'm excited to be here, man. I watched the show and now I get to be on it. I'm psyched.
We've wanted to make this happen for years, so we're glad that you're finally here. So let's talk now about the Super Bowl. It took a Super Bowl to get you on The Issue Is. What does hosting the Super Bowl, though, mean for this state, for our state of California, and for Los Angeles, which was without an NFL team for 21 years?
Yeah, I mean, we went a long time without an NFL team. And a lot of people pointed out, you know, the crowd composition at the NFC Championship game and the number of Niners fans. You know, this is a generational change for Los Angeles and for California. It's a generational change because this team really just got here 6 years ago, and they are beginning to build real momentum. Los Angeles loves stars, people like LeBron James and Mookie Betts for the Dodgers. We've got Von Miller, and we've got Matthew Stafford, and we've got Cooper Kupp, and we've got Leonard Floyd, and of course, Aaron Donald. I mean, we've got stars, and now we've got the opportunity to win a championship and bring an NFL championship, a Lombardi Trophy, to Los Angeles. I can't imagine the number of little kids who will watch this game this week, see the Rams win, I'm hoping, and become Rams fans for the long haul. And when we look back at this a decade from now, we'll say, oh yeah, remember when we won the Super Bowl? That's sort of where it began rolling for the Rams. Brand new building, lots of success, Lombardi Trophy, and a whole new generation of NFL fans and Rams fans.
You've already said the Rams are going to win. What's the score going to be?
Let's see. The score, I'm going to go 34-28. 34-28, I think the Rams. The big key, Rams defensive line versus a really soft Cincinnati offensive line. If you want some X's and O's, I've got a whiteboard right over here where I draw up the plays. But I think that's going to be one of the big keys to the game.
Joe Burrow gets to know Aaron Donald and Von Miller personally in that
scenario. Personal, yeah. Exactly right. Yeah.
Well, a guy who avoided a lot of sacks over the course of his career was Tom Brady. This week, his retirement. How do you assess what Tom Brady means to football?
Well, he is, and this is just across sports, he is the ultimate winner. 10 Super Bowls, winning 7 times. It will never, ever be done again. We can sit here and in 30 years and say there was only one Tom Brady.
We're back with Steve Mason, the co-host of the Culture Pop Cot podcast, where he talks about all things entertainment with his co-host Sue Kalinske. And Steve, you say what I say, which is that Coda is the best film of the year.
Yeah, my favorite movie of the year. You know, the beauty of the movie, I think, is that here's a family, 3 deaf adults and 1 Coda, 1 child of deaf adults. And they communicate better than a lot of families. You know, this is just a beautiful, beautiful story. You mentioned the title Coda, Children of Deaf Adults. The other thing I love is that a coda is the end of a song or a piece of music, right? That's a musical term. And it also sort of describes what happens in this story with this girl who has served as the lifeline for this family of deaf adults. And it's sort of her emergence into the world, her leaving the family and her going off to music school. So it is like a musical coda in addition to Coda standing for Children of Deaf Adults.
And another one of your favorite films this year, Tick, Tick, Boom, which is available now on Netflix.
Oh, man. Directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, stars Andrew Garfield, who will be nominated for Best Actor for this movie. My favorite Broadway musical of all time is Rent. And Jonathan Larson is the writer of Rent, who passed away, in fact, before the show even officially opened. And this is his story. This is his creative process. This is his one-man show turned into a movie, and beautifully by Lin-Manuel Miranda, featuring an unbelievable Andrew Garfield performance.
Well, you brought up the Oscars. The ratings for the Oscars have been in like a nosedive for years. A lot of people feel like they're not really connected to the Oscars for a lot of different reasons. How do they make the show better?
Well, you know, it's really become sort of an industry-only event. If you look at, now they've expanded to 10 Best Picture nominees. If you look at that 10, the way they will come out, probably combined, they did 30 million gross at the box office. The one way that the Oscars can save its show, its broadcast, is by nominating Spider-Man No Way Home. It is a completely legitimate nomination. It's a great film, it's smart, it's well-written, it's beautifully crafted, it's done $1.6 billion worldwide and $700 million in the US. People will have a rooting interest. And Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man, has expressed interest in being the host of the Oscars. Again, that younger audience, that buzz, that sizzle that you would get from Tom Holland being the Oscar host. So those are my couple of ideas on how to fix a show that's been broken for a few years.
Well, and they also have to make the show fun, because people like watching fun on TV, make it relatable, and also pick movies that are enjoyable to watch, right? A movie like Coda is a beautiful film, but it's also fun to watch, and you cry and you feel it. They end up nominating all these super depressing, slow art house movies that you feel like you're doing homework to get through to check off a box. And how about, you know, something you want to see?
Yeah, I mean, here it is. It's like every year the 10 saddest movies in America get nominated for Best Picture. It's like, give us some hope. You know, back to Spider-Man No Way Home, I used to own movie theaters. It literally, that movie saved the movie theater business. If there was ever a movie, and I'm stumping here, if there was ever a movie that deserved to be nominated for Best Picture, it's Spider-Man No Way Home.
All right. Well, on the issue is, this is your first time here. We play a game called Personal Issues. This is where we put 30 seconds on the clock, rapid fire questions to get to know you. They're usually about pop culture. And since you're the, you know, culture pop guy, we're really going heavy on the pop culture questions. So try to be quick in your answers. All right, here we go. Ready? What is your favorite TV show to binge right now?
Righteous Gemstones on HBO.
What's your favorite TV show of all time?
Breaking Bad.
Who's your all-time favorite actor?
Jack Nicholson.
Who is your favorite musician of all time?
Boy, that's a good one. Favorite musician, I'll go Beck.
Who is the all-time best Super Bowl halftime performer?
Bruno Mars.
You made it in time. Steve Mason, very nice. You know, we love
and
to-
And now I regret it too, because it should be Prince. I mean, Prince is- Purple Rain, that was unbelievable. Prince's, but the first name that popped into my mind was Bruno Mars.
Prince's Purple Rain at the Super Bowl in Miami while it was raining and the lights were in purple, so you literally had Purple Rain, I think is the greatest moment in Super Bowl halftime.
Our thanks to Steve Mason, and our thanks to Congresswoman Barbara Lee, and our thanks to you for listening. Next week, we're out on the road. A special edition of The Issue is from the Super Bowl. Who knows who we're going to talk to, but it's exciting to think about the possibilities. In the meantime, thanks for listening this week. I'm Alex Michelson. Please connect with me in social media at Alex Michelson. That's E-L-E-X-M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S-O-N. Talk to you soon.